American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, September 15th, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sitrep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for our headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. And you know how important it is that you do distribute this program. Don't ever make any mistakes. It's people like you, who I'm talking to right now, who've probably never heard the show before, who make all the difference. Because realistically, you are the new blood. If you do not bring new blood into an organization, it all turns very incestuous and very strange and very bizarre, and everybody turns predatory. It's important that you have new people in with new ideas, with changed ideas. Maybe ideas that people have had before, but they do them better, and this time the ideas work. Bottom line, new blood is important, especially at that rave where you do it in the beginning of that movie, Blade, with the Tracy Lord. Anyway, you can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Radio Red Mercury, and at Second Life, Node Archers, Grid 13710299er. And let's not forget our brothers trapped out there in the new wasteland, which is ever expanding thanks to hurricanes and various other global change events that are nothing to worry about. Please keep the band playing as the ship goes below the water. For more examples of ships below the water, please check out 3403 19.41 North, 11737 29.50 West. And let's get straight into the news. Don't have a lot of feedback, don't have a lot of sort yourself out. Sometimes I get a lot of those. Feedback is good, provided it's not from crazy people. And by crazy people, I don't mean people who are like, I don't mean the actual crazy people who, like, write me letters and say stuff like, Sean, I think you're an alien. Talk to me if this is true. I enjoy those kinds of emails, actually, because, you know, well, they're fun. You know, wouldn't you enjoy that, really? You know, I also really, you know, this is kind of funny. I also really enjoy stalkers. I think stalkers are great. And it's funny that you think, well, careful what you're saying here, Sean. No, I do. I really do. I enjoy people who are, for some reason, like, totally obsessive fans. Like, you hear about these guys who, like, go through the garbage and, like, take bits of their hair and make, like, a model out of their hair and stuff. I was thinking that that would be, like, totally, totally sweet to have a bunch of these dudes, you know? Because you could build, like, barracks for them and stuff and have your own little stalker pack, and then you could turn them into, like, close protection unit. You know, they take a bullet for you. Hell, they're stalkers. They think you're the chosen god, you know? You could totally, I mean, there's got to be a method to do that. And plus, you know, you got to be, it's got to be fairly flattering to have crazy stalkers. Really, I mean, because, you know, these people have devoted their lives to you. Mind you, you know, I guess I'd think differently when I wake up in the middle of the night and somebody's nose-to-nose with me and he's like, I can hear you breathe. I'm sure I'd have a different, you know, way of dealing with that. First, my first question would be, how did you get past the defenses? Where's my dog? You know, that's, you know, but beyond that, after I calm down a bit, it'd be like, wow, you're at least you're a big fan. But if you do want to be a big fan and you're a stalker, please do not break into my house or try to stalk me in any way, because you're liable to get shot. And as well, the better thing to do, really, make more friends, is by spreading the virus and making sure you tell more people about the loveliness that is our show. Because, well, it's, you know, we started off being the only, you know, free voice of internet radio, because we were the first ones, and we're going to wind up being the last free voice of internet radio, which kind of appeals to me in the great circle of life, you know? I mean, it totally makes sense that there would be people, like, and couldn't you see that? Couldn't you just see that? You know, that you could, really, that near the end there, there will come a day when there will be the newspaper article with the picture of Sean being dragged out, and the cops will kick in my door looking for anything that remotely, and they'll have the headline, and he was found with weapons! And they'll show, like, you know, five knives and some basic personal weapon collection type stuff, and I'll get, you know, locked away in some deep dark hole somewhere and, you know, probably get myself a nice set of orange pajamas. And they'll start asking me about my terrorist contacts, which is one of the reasons why I don't keep mail. I prefer when people use their assumed names. I don't remember who sends in. Like, some people are like, Sean, why are you so standoffish? It's very, very good for me to keep all of the fans at arm's length, because the last thing that I want is anyone to suffer because of something that I have done. And it's a pretty good thing that people are starting to get a little bit more security-minded. Because let me tell you, some of the news stories I got going on tonight, man, will just melt your head. Like I said before, like I've said many times before, I used to have to try to look for cyberpunk stories back at the turn of the century when we started this game. It was pretty hard. You know, you had to go around and you had some feeble robotic stories. And now, well, crap, I can't even, like, the stories that get sent to me by the semi-sentient search engine of the Army of the Flying Monkey. Let me tell you, man, these people are able to, like, they don't even have to go far from the house. You know, if we were fishing, we'd open the door, the fish would fall in, we'd close the door. That's how easy it is to find the cyberpunk stories. Thank you, server. So let's start off the ball rolling with a little bit of terror, sent in by Wyandi, a very good person who reports often, and I don't often give Wyandi enough credit, but let me tell you, it sends me in some good stuff. In iSpy News, your iPhone is watching you. Now, as everyone knows, I'm looking for a way to get off of cell phones altogether. Think they're a bad idea. Kind of like rhinos. If you look on eBay right now for a product, it's called a rhino. It's basically a FRS, GFRS, or GPRS radio that broadcasts a GPS grid coordinates to other people on your net. So let's say if everyone in the room here was all on the same net, we could see where we are located on our actual GPS, and it's encrypted, and you can run it like that, so that, you know, if you lose a member of your party or somebody gets, you know, snatched by, you know, various crazies, you're able to track that by their radio, and everyone can converge, and the people who kidnapped you have a bad day. But with the iPhone, apparently, it's been discovered now that your iPhone is watching you. If you've got an iPhone, pretty much everything you have done on your handset has been temporarily stored as a screenshot that hackers or forensics experts could eventually recover, according to a renowned iPhone hacker who's exposed the security flaw in a webcast on Thursday. This is all linked up on the LiveJournal site. While demonstrating how to break the iPhone's passcode lock in the webcast, the iPhone hacker and Datix forensics expert Jonathan Sadarsky explained the popular handset snaps a screenshot of your most recent action, regardless of whether or not it's sending a text message, emailing, or browsing a web page in order to cache it. It's purely for aesthetic purposes. When the iPhone user taps the home button, the window of the active place you have seen shrinks and disappears in order to create that shrinking effect. The iPhone snaps a screenshot, Zdarsky says. The phone presumably deletes the image after you close the application, presumably. But anyone who understands data is aware that in most cases, deletion does not have permanently removed files from storage on a device. Therefore, forensics experts have this security flaw to successfully nab criminals who have been accused of rape, murder, or drug deals, Zdarsky said. There is no way to prevent it, Zdarsky said during a webcast. I'm kind of divided on it. I hope Apple fixes it because it's a significant privacy leak, but at the same time, it's been useful for investigating criminals. Which, really, the only difference between a person and a criminal is when a guy wearing a blue suit and a badge goes, "You're under arrest," and suddenly, you're a criminal. And the thought the handset only snaps screenshots when users press the home button, Zdarsky said, is the only way for forensics experts to collect evidence. Other methods include taking data from the iPhone's keyboard cache, Safari cache, Google Maps lookups, and so on. Experts and hackers can also recover deleted photos or emails from months ago. In addition to exposing the privacy leaks, Zdarsky walked webcast attendees through the steps required to bypass the iPhone's password in order to gain full access to it. Ooh, nice little thing. But why would you want one of these phones knowing that? Here's the good news. It didn't look all that easy. It took Zdarsky nearly an hour. Ooh, an hour to demonstrate the process. It would likely take an inexperienced hacker far longer. far longer. Inexperienced hackers don't try to do that, and if he was warmed up and not in front of the camera, he could do it in probably 20 minutes. To make a long story short, the process involved using Pwnage to create custom firmware bundle and tweaking it to rather arcane methods to delete the iPhone passcode and protection. Despite the intricacy of this method, Zdarsky stressed that anybody with the time and digital sophistication has the ability to break the iPhone's security. The flaw can only be exploited by someone with the physical access to the device, but your phone could get in the hands of someone with more malicious intent, i.e. you're arrested. He said, obviously, you don't want to trust any of your data to a passcode. A full recording of the webcast, hosted by O'Reilly, will be available shortly. We'll post a link as soon as it's available. This is from their website. Those interested in learning how to break iPhone security can pre-order Zdarsky's book, iPhone Forensics, Recovering Evidence, Personal Data, and Corporate Assets. Apple did not return phone calls for comment. Now, the other thing about the iPhone, which pretty much sucks pretty, you know, sweat off of the dead donkey, is the fact that if you hold any device you're carrying, that if you hold it, you know, like you make the Jesus pose where you put your arms out to the side and you release whatever device is in your hands, you know, so that it falls onto the concrete, and you must do this on concrete or road. And if you're not comfortable doing that because you think that it will break, it is a piece of crap. This is it. This is all there is to it. Now, there's a bunch of companies out there that make cases for these things, like the OtterBox and those kind of guys where you can, you know, get this kind of stuff going in. But, dude, I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. You know, the iPhone, it's not sexy. I don't care what the marketing guys tell you. I've yet to meet a woman who wants to sleep with a guy because of his phone. And if you do meet a woman who wants to sleep with a guy, or a guy who wants to sleep with a girl because of their phone, for God's sakes, don't sleep with them. If anything, these people should not be allowed to breed. In more surveillance law news, sent him in by the Hatter of Madness. In New York, written references could become old hat for hiring managers, with one in five saying they use social networking sites to research job candidates, and a third of them dismissing the candidate after what they discover. Now, this is just what they're saying old school. These are the people who are in management now, and they're able to hire and fire, who might be not up on the the current emerging trend. So this will only increase over time. So right now, we're at one in five, and a third of the people get dismissed because of what happens. I was worried about this with my job. I mean, come on. Can you think of someone with a bigger digital print footprint than me? Really? Especially within the underground community. Yeah, there's other people out there, guys like Henry Rollins and stuff like that, and professional, you know, dudes who, you know, they make their money this way and stuff, but I work, you know, I have a job. So the fact that I do this could put my job in risk, especially if they think I'm a crazy terrorist. You see what I'm saying? So you have to be careful with this kind of stuff. This is why security is important. This is why you have to make sure you don't become a data litter bug. You don't want to leave yourself open so that you can suffer because of some of the things that you, some ideas you've had, things that you want to express, because everything's recorded now, right? So you got to be very, very careful. Change your emails. Make sure you use assumed names. Change your assumed names often. These kinds of things. Personally, I like the random name generator known as the phone book. You open it up, pick a name, there you go. Off you go. Don't like it? Try it again. Okay, there we go. Once you pick the name, draw a line through it so you don't pick the same name twice. These kinds of things, you know? And I've gotten on old daily hacks. I've got, you know, fake ID generators and stuff like that. It's just common sense to use that kind of stuff. You really need to be smart about it because, you know what? We are living in, I don't know about if it's a biblical end time, but it's definitely going to be the end of privacy and freedom and a lot of the thoughts of liberty that, you know, the United States of America and a lot of free-thinking Western civilization was based on. I don't know if Alex Jones is completely right on 100% of the things all of the time, but I will tell you this much, is that if he's only right on 10% of his things, I'm scared shitless over here. Okay, there's a lot of crazy stuff that is going on in the world, and it's going to be up to people like us who are able to look after each other, form the network, make sure we have communication, so that when things do go sideways, we at least have a hope and a prayer to make sure that the convictions and visions and morals of a free society have a shot at survival, because without it, we are definitely headed towards a brand new dark age. So knowing this, though, knowing that people will be looking at your blog, people will be doing that kind of stuff, you want to kind of sanitize your blog. You want to go through and make sure there's no references to people with real names. For God's sakes, don't talk about other people using their real names on your blog, because people can find it very easily. Now, more than ever, it is simple to locate information and do backtraces. Remember the days, those of us who have been kicking around for a while, we used to buy books that said, hey, you can find out anything you want about people on the internet. Here's a bunch of sites that shows you how to do that. And it's very, very interesting to see that now, I mean, hell, Google's made it all easy, you know, super easy to do. Who couldn't look up information on anyone at any point at any time? It's very, very simple to do. We all know how to do it. Yeah, absolutely. Morp's Sky Tower, it's ABBA search. It's a good point. You know, there's a billion trillion things you can do as well. I mean, things like that wonderful FBI CIA tool, Facebook. You look at that and you see that, oh, WOGs, eh? How many WOGs are on? Oh, they're all over the place, and who knows how they're WOGs, too. Let's just put them all in the cattle cars. Don't forget, works makes you free. These are things that you're like, well, Sean, you're getting into the tinfoil hat crowd now. No. The tinfoil hat crowd are not as crazy as they used to be. I'm here to tell you. And I know this because I've been reporting the news to you people for 10 years, and I've seen the trend, okay? We're like, just hit the archives. They're all given away for free. If you were to show up anywhere inside of Node Archers and say, hey, guys, I need more newsreel. I got one dose of this stuff. If you're a new listener and you want more, there's all kinds of ways to do it. Just go to the newsreel site, go to my blog. There's all the archives are there. You can get the shows. It's there. It's there to arm yourself with knowledge so that you have a hope in the coming days. Now, in media ban news, because, you know, this is how it starts. Again, another Hatter of Madness story sent in to me. The video sharing service YouTube is banning submissions that involve inciting others to violence. How fucking vague is that? You know, any so like rap music from the 80s is instantly gone. Video games, screenshots of video games, that's inciting people to violence because you're showing, you know, you're showing anything. Dungeons and Dragons, you know, that could be inciting people to violence. Any first-person shooter could be inciting people to violence. Any sort of a sermon, Martin Luther King Jr. speeches, inciting people to violence. You never know, you know? It's interpretation. And this is following criticisms from Senator Joseph Lieberman, that the site was too open to terrorist groups disseminating militant propaganda. Right. The company either earlier this year removed some of the videos that Lieberman targeted, many of which were marketed with the logos of Al-Qaeda and affiliated groups. But the company refused to take down most of the videos on the senator's list, saying they did not violate the website's guidelines against graphic violence or hate speech. Now that videos inciting others to violence are banned, more videos by the terrorist groups in question must be removed. YouTube reviews its content guidelines a few times a year. A few times a year! YouTube reviews its content guidelines a few times a year, which means that, you know, two is a couple, a few is three. So basically once every 3 months, we, you know, sit around and try to make a call on whether or not we're going to take your shit down and totally control, you know, the distribution of media. You know, really. But anyway, YouTube reviews its content guidelines a few times a year, and we take the community's input seriously. YouTube spokesman Ricardo Ruiz. The senator made some good points, most of them on his head. YouTube was being used by Islamist terrorist organizations to recruit and train followers via the internet to incite terrorist attack around the world, including right here in the United States, Lieberman said in a statement. Expect these stronger community guidelines to decrease the numbers of videos on YouTube produced by Al-Qaeda and affiliated Islamist terrorist organizations. Do you honestly believe for 15 fucking seconds that YouTube videos are going to cause violence? Really? Honest to God? Do you really think that that is going to be the deciding factor there? It's like, well, you know, I didn't really believe in the 40 versions and wrapping myself in Egyptian cotton to do the funky teleport down at the local pizza shack. But now that I've watched YouTube, hells yeah, sign me up. I'm going to wrap me up in the bomb vest and go take me a walk. Come on. Seriously, we haven't legalized weed yet. Maybe after you do that, you might have a chance of getting people. No, even then, people will be like, no, I don't believe you, you psycho asshole. Anyway, the standoff between the senators and the nation's largest video sharing site aroused arguments that have become commonplace since September 11th, 2001. There it is. Bang! 9/11. It pitted civil rights, in this case free speech, against demands to crack down on terrorism. It pitted civil rights against demands to crack down on terrorism. I love that line. because it's pitting civil rights, which, you know, basically is like human rights, rights of freedom, free thought, this kind of stuff, the rights that are part of being an American, against demands to crack down on terrorism. If you crack down on terrorism and destroy the civil rights, the terrorists win! Period! They win the game! So don't do that. Take a page from Britain. Take a page from Israel and conduct business as usual. You know what happens in Israel when a bomb goes off inside of a pizzeria and a bunch of people get chewed into shit? Do you have any idea what happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens. What happens is the minute that pizzeria opens up again, they all the people that were there, they all go streaming back and make sure it's packed for like days and days and days. Because they don't want to show people that they're afraid. They don't want to show the terrorists that they have won. You know what I'm saying? In May, Lieberman issued a bipartisan report by the Senate Committee on the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. Staff described how Al-Qaeda created and managed its online media. Jesus Christ. Later than that, Lieberman wrote letters to officials at Google, which owns YouTube, demanding the company immediately remove content produced by Islamic terrorist organizations from YouTube. This should be a straightforward task, since many of the Islamist terrorist organizations brand their materials with logos or icons. He also asked Google to explain what changes would be made to YouTube's guidelines to address the violent extremist material. Which kind of makes me go, why doesn't Google say, hey, why don't you eat a bag of dicks and leave us alone, because we're private, we have no interest in working with you. And then, of course, this would lead to Google. I mean, it's all business, right? It's money with money with money with money. Because of the volumes of videos uploaded to YouTube is vast, hundreds of thousands every day, the company says it cannot monitor what gets posted. Instead, it relies on users to flag videos that violate its community guidelines. But when the company removed videos after Lieberman's request in May, the company did so because they violated its existing guidelines prohibiting graphic violence and hate speech. Some of the videos depicted violence attacks on U.S. soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. But most of the videos highlighted by Lieberman were not removed. While we respect and understand Lieberman's views, YouTube encourages free speech and defends everyone's right to express unpopular points of view. The company said in a statement at the time, the company's stance now appears to have changed. Because, you know, you really don't want to fuck with the U.S. government. Exactly what kind of videos will be deemed as inciting others to violence, quote-unquote, will be considered on a case-by-case basis. Although First Amendment experts say the company could run into trouble if the phrase is interpreted too broadly. We subscribe to the common sense rule, Ryer said. Our guidelines are not written for lawyers. Common sense is so rare, it should be a superpower. I'm here to tell you. I cannot believe the amount of crap that they're able to get passed with laws like this. And how long before this kind of stuff happens again? How long before this kind of stuff, you know, trickles down? So eventually, you know, patrolling with Sean Kennedy, because it's got that word patrolling in there. How long before that gets put away and I get put in the camps? You know, it's something to think about. If it happens, please don't forget my name. In Moon Nuke News. Now, this is interesting stuff. Like in space stories, NASA developed fission surface power technology. NASA astronauts will need power sources when they return to the moon and establish a lunar outpost. Very cool. NASA engineers are exploring the possibility of nuclear fission to provide the necessary power and taking initial steps towards a non-nuclear technology demonstrated in this type of system. A fission surface power system on the moon has the potential to generate a steady 40 kilowatts of electrical power, enough for about 8 houses on Earth. It works by splitting uranium atoms in a reactor to generate heat that is then converted into electrical power. The fission surface power can then produce large amounts of power in harsh environments like those on the surface of the moon or Mars because it doesn't rely on sunlight. The primary components on fission surface power systems are heat source, power conversion, heat rejection, and power conditioning and distribution. Our goal is to build a technology demonstration unit that, with all major components of a fission surface power system, that conduct non-nuclear integrated system testings on ground-based space simulation facility. This is what Lee Mason, the principal investigator for the test, NASA's Glenn Center in Cleveland. Our long-term goal is to demonstrate technical readiness early in the next decade, when NASA is expected to decide on the types of power that could be used on the lunar surface. Very, very interesting stuff. Glenn recently contracted for the design analysis two different types of advanced power conversion units, and as an early setup in the development of full system-level technology demonstration. These power conversion units are necessary to process the heat produced by the nuclear reactor and the efficiency to convert it to electrical power. So, you know, there's a big push to get to space right now. Maybe this is something to try to take people's minds off of, you know, the war. Maybe that's a good idea. You know, we want to have people talking about Britney Spears versus torture chambers and, you know, various, you know, prisoners being, you know, ripped apart and things of that nature. I can totally see why, you know, you wouldn't want people to focus on that too much. It's upsetting. You know, it's upsetting. You don't want people to think too much about the war. It's like they said, and, you know, I saw a photo one time. It was written on a board. It's, you know, America's not at war. The Marines are at war. America is at the mall. And that's very true. It's very, very true. You know, people need to remember that, you know, their sons and daughters are out there, and they're fighting a shitty, unpopular war, and they're trapped in a country that does not want them, in a war that nobody wanted. And now they're the ones who are going to take it in the teeth. And it's horrible. It's horrible. And they're going to come home fucked up. And we're going to have, like, a generation of children that we have to put back together again. And I'm just hoping to God that history doesn't repeat itself and we don't wind up with another Vietnam vet scenario. Now, on this nuclear or fission thing on the moon thing, they might want to talk to the good people in Russia. Because it seems to me that Russia's got this shit sorted out. Becca sent me this one. Thank you, babe. In generator news. Now, this is interesting. I know Alex is going to be interested in this one here. Defense strategists place their stakes on high-tech weapons. Nearly all superpowers of the world conduct their works in the development of such weapons. It transpired recently that Russian scientists developed a generator, the capacity of which is comparable to that of a nuclear unit. It is a genuine scientific breakthrough, and it's already clear that the defense industry will not be the only field where there is a new super device going to be used. An individual who is miles away from physics and is only familiar with home electricity will not be able to imagine the power of several billion watts. It will even be able harder to imagine that such power can be generated with a device that is fit to be placed on a table. Okay? We're talking about several billion watts coming out of a device that sits on a table. The device for generating such power, billions of watts, used to be very large in size before. The appliance has a very short impulse, which makes it possible to have on a desk. And it is a very compact device. Director of Lebedev's Institute of Physics, Vice President of the Russian Academy of Science, Gennady Mezyets, said. Mikhail Yeladin, one of the creators of Miraculous Machines, said that scientists had assembled two such devices in Yekaterinburg, a bigger one and a smaller one. Never before had the relatively small device ever been able to generate electromagnetic impulses, the capacity of which could be comparable with a huge water power plant. It is 10 times as much as any foreign-made analog. The new device can be used practically anywhere. The invention will let specialists create radar telescopes and radars of new generations. Missile troops and defense armaments on the whole will likely be the first consumers to order the appliance. The new generator can also be used to check the stability of large amounts of objects and systems. The device is capable of imitating the strays which appear as a result of lightning strikes or even a nuclear blast. It is impossible to take photographs or film a video of the new generator in action because it immediately puts all electrical devices out of order when it's sparked up. The research that was used for the creation of such device can be applied in the development of electromagnetic weapons. No one has ever studied the biological effects of such impulses. It is obvious that the effects of electrical equipment near it, computers and cell phones, have to be screened from such radiation, Michael Yadin, a senior specialist in the Institute of Electrophysics, said. The device was called Nika, which means victory. Well, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. What I would say the first thing you should do with that is get it on board a ship. Get it on board a ship. Get it on board planes. Because planes burn a lot of fuel. What if we could have electric engines in planes? Wouldn't that be cool? What if we could have, electric engines on boats, stopping them from burning a lot of gas, a lot of fuel, thereby cheapening freight? You see what I mean? I mean, when they're talking about taking nuclear generators and making them small enough that they're, like, able to fit under a house or something the size of a car and put out that kind of juice, you can run one of those inside of, a large container ship. And, you're basically doing okay. So, sounds good to me. In robot news. Now, we all know that iRobot has been working with Taser, working with the military, and it looks like iRobot is the next big thing, man. They're going to be the new General Electric of weapons production and all that good jazz. The iRobot Corporation, famed as a manufacturer of the Roomba autonomous floor cleaner, has bought underwater robot maker Necton Research and suppliers of droid submarines to the U.S. military. "We believe that the underwater market is the next frontier for robots," said Helen Greener, iRobot co-founder. "The acquisition positions us for leadership and robot solutions of both land and sea and the air, apparently. iRobot has already made substantial sales of ground-crawling machine warriors such as the PackBot to the U.S. Armed Forces. In addition to its civil products, the company also recently licensed U.S. government-funded Sea Glider technology from the University of Washington. Necton's Ranger will be a strong complement to the Sea Glider we have licensed from the University of Washington," said Joe Dyer, chief industrialist at the GovGear at iRobot. "With the two unmanned underwater vehicles, we will be in a better position to meet the needs of our customers. iRobot will pay $10 million for Necton, plus a further $5 million condition of achievement of certain business and financial milestones. It's expected that Necton will bring in revenues of $6 million to $8 million in 2008, and from its existing customers, those including the Office of Naval Research, USS Special Operations Command, and the renowned Pentagon Wingnut Boffinry Arm, DARPA, the good people that brought you the Internet. It is planned that iRobot will provide cash and support necessary for Necton to produce new and more capable version of its existing Ranger Robo Mini Sub. We're extremely happy to be joining the iRobot team," said Rick Vosburg, former Necton president, now iRobot executive director of Maritime Systems. "We expect to be offering the next generation Ranger by late 2009, which would not have been possible without iRobot because they've got a lot of money. There are already large numbers of underwater remotely operated vehicles. However, these typically use a cable to link the human operators on the surface. Wireless high bandwidth comms through the water are extremely difficult to achieve. There are a few machines which carry out simple tasks independently underwater, such as the Talisman from BAE Systems, but iRobot probably is right to say there's still room left in subsea droid market." Very, very interesting story. So, as we all know, robots are out there. And they're doing things. You know, what are the robots up to? That's what I want to know. What are they going to be doing with these robots? Because, you know, once robots get involved, it's really hard to make moral decisions. When you tell the robots to light the kids on fire, the robots don't ask why. They just light the kids on fire. And then to establish blame, you know, what robots do you put in jail? How do you charge robots with war crimes? You can't. And then you have to track who is in charge of what, and it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult indeed. Now, in Ninja Spy News, now they're talking about terrorism everywhere, they're worried about frickin' YouTube, and then this story hits the mark, which I thought this was pretty wild. North Korea was yesterday accused of infiltrating an international Taekwondo group and using it as a front for espionage and assassination, including a planned 1982 attempt on the life of the South Korean president, Chun Do-hwan, Reuters said. That's according to Choi Jung-hwa, son of the general Choi Hong-hee, who established the International Taekwondo Federation in South Korea in 1966. Choi Jr. told the Korea Times, "After taking control of the ITF, the North trained spies and sent them overseas, disguising them as Taekwondo masters. The communist state's cutting plan was facilitated by Choi's senior falling out with his then South Korean president, Park Chung-hee, causing him to take himself to the ITF, to Canada, in the 70s. In 1982, acting on Pyongyang's orders, Choi planned to hit Cho Do-hwan during a visit to Canada, but local police got wind of the plan, and Choi fled to North Korea. He returned to his native land yesterday to clear up misunderstandings about the past. The Jongang Lobo newspaper reports, he said, "I've committed some wrongs. Whether it was my intention or not, I should pay for what I have done." While the ITF flourished abroad in 1973, saw the birth of South Korea and the World Taekwondo Federation, which subsequently dwarfed the former terms in local membership. WTF Taekwondo, which differs from the ITF sparring techniques and strategies, became Olympic sport in Sydney 2000 Games. Following Choi Sr.'s death in 2002, the ITF splintered into three rival groups, two in Austria and the third in Canada. Never was a big Taekwondo guy. Gonna go out on a limb here. I'm sure I'm gonna piss some people off with this one. Never really liked Taekwondo. It's a martial sport. It's not really a martial art. The stuff I'd look at right now, if I was gonna start from scratch, I'd probably check out stuff that's got some very serious, you know, battle testing on it. Things like, Russian Sistema is very interesting. Soft form. If I was a woman, I would look at Sistema.
Or if I was a smaller person, I would look at Sistema. I would also probably look at some Krav Maga. And, you know, and realistically, honestly speaking, you're better off to just learn three or four holds in each move, like three or four takedowns, three or four, you know, blah, 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 blah. So it's all about drills anyway, and yada, yada, yada. There's lots out there, but, you know, don't get sucked into all this different mystical bullshit. It's really just body mechanics, and that's why I like the Russian systems of doing things. I got a lot of time for Russians. I like Russians. They're pretty hardcore people, you know? But anyway, in Decker news, now here's an interesting story, because everyone's talking about the Hadron Collider, you know, and I did a little story about it. I'm not really covering that too much. Because, well, you know, everybody's talking about the Hadron. Everybody wants to talk about the collider, you know. But realistically, you know, I'm glad it's there. I'm glad we got science. They're going to, you know, there's going to be a very serious, there's going to be lots of tests going on. So if there's a certain margin of error each time that they could start a black hole up, I think it'd really only be a matter of rolling the dice enough times. But anyway, this is a really disturbing story to me. Now, there's a chance that somebody is listening to this program. Might be involved with this. So let me get through the story. Aaron Decker News. Hackers have mounted an attack on the Large Hadron Collider, raising concerns about security of the biggest experiment in the world. As the first particles were circulating in the machine near Geneva, where the World Wide Web is born, a Greek group hacked into the facility, posted a warning about the weaknesses of its infrastructure. Okay, fair ball. Calling themselves the Greek security team, the interlopers mocked the IT used on the project, describing the technicians responsible security as a bunch of school kids. Well, maybe there's something to be said for that. However, despite an honest warning, don't mess with us, the hackers said they have no intention of disrupting the work of the Atom Smasher. Hooray! We're pulling your pants down because we don't want to see you running around naked looking to hide yourself when the panic comes, they wrote in Greek in a rambling note posted on the LHC's network. Well, then at least you didn't get totally pwned and they didn't wreck your shit. The scientists behind the $4.4 billion Big Bang machine have already received threatening emails and been besieged by telephone calls from worried members of the public concerned by speculation the machine could trigger a black hole to swallow the Earth, earthquakes, and tsunamis, despite endless reassurances to the contrary from the likes of Professor Stephen Hawking. The website, www.cmsmoncern.ch, can no longer be accessed by the public as a result of these attacks. Scientists working at CERN, the organization that runs the Vast Smasher, were worried about what hackers could do because they were one step away from the computer control system on one of the huge detectors of the machine, a vast magnet that weighs 12,500 tons, measuring around 21 meters in length and 15 meters wide. If they'd hacked into a second computer network, they could have turned off parts of the vast detector, said the insider, and it's hard enough to make these things work if no one's messing with it. Fortunately, only one file was damaged, but one of the scientists firing off emails to CMS fought off the hackers and said it was a scary experience. The hackers targeted the Compact Mune Solenoid Experiment, or the CMS, one of the four eyes in the facility that will be analyzing the fallout of the Big Bang. The CMS team of around 2,000 scientists is racing with another team that runs the Atlas detector, also at CERN, to find the Higgs particle, one responsible for mass. There seems to be no harm done. From what they can tell, they're making the point that CMS was hackable, said James Gilley, spokesman for CERN. It was quickly detected. We have several levels of network, a general access network. There's a much tighter network for sensitive things operated at the LHC, said Gilley. We are a very visible site, he said, adding that 1.4 million emails sent to CERN yesterday, 98% was spam. Just like the rest of us. The hacking attempt started around the same time the giant machine was about to circulate its first particles under the spotlight of the world's media. Now, at least the hackers who did it weren't jerks about it. You know what I mean? They just kind of went in there and said, hey, this is broken. You might want to fix this because, you know, what you're doing is pretty important. You know, it's a good idea. It's a good idea, but let's not mess with these guys. I think what would have been better was rather than say, wow, your IT team sucks, why don't you send emails to the IT team saying, hey guys, we broke your shit. Here's how we broke your shit. Please fix it, and we'll try again in another month. And when we do it, we'll just send you our new list about how we fix it. And then eventually, you know, or a couple of days, or whatever the timeline is, but eventually you help these people. Instead of cursing their darkness, you're lighting candles. Don't use this to prove yourself better than anybody else. If you guys are involved with this, any of the Greek hackers are out there, guys, help these people out, okay? These people are our future. This is some of the cool things about science. And you don't want to vilify the internet and vilify the people who are on the internet. We're the good guys, okay? So, yeah, be a white hat about the whole thing, but be smart about the whole thing, too. And, well, as the universal law goes, don't be a dick, okay? That's all we're going with this here. Just don't be a dick, you know? And some of the stuff that these people do, well, it's pretty dickish, you know, really. Now in Three War News. What is Three War? The Three War is the World Wide Web War. Three W's followed by War. So it's the Three War News. Three W War News. So I just call it the Three War News. I like it. I thought it was clever. The Three War, what that is it's going to be a war that takes place on the internet for the hearts and minds of civilization. And this war has already started. That's what a lot of these stories are already about. Okay, when you look at it, what the stuff with YouTube and all this kind of stuff, it is a war. There is a war going on for the hearts and minds of people. And like it is says in the intro, you know, they have to renew with vigor their efforts to indoctrinate people with a capitalist story. You know, it's a very, very dangerous time that we're living in. And that's why now more than ever, it's so important to not to hate the media, but to become the media, to distribute the media, and to become involved with projects, no matter how small you think they are, no matter how little you think you're helping, there's lots and lots of opportunity to assist. There's tons of opportunity to assist, and you shouldn't let yourself become bogged down by the notion that you don't think you can do anything. If you don't think you can do anything, you know, don't let that stop you from doing something. You know, it just kind of makes sense. So, in the Three War News, okay, it seems that the Pirate Bay is, I mean, we all know that Pirate Bay is eventually going to go down. We know that. I mean, it's just going to be a matter of time. But the Pirate Bay, as of 09... 12. So today, brand new story because I'm recording it on the 12th. There's no more media relations going on with Pirate Bay. This is their press release. Due to last night's failure from the last entity of respected traditional media to keep promises, we have decided to suspend all of our contacts with the press for the time being. All planned book dates of interviews are to be considered suspended. All future interviews are to be considered impossible. We have no longer any interest in participating in traditional media since it's apparent they are not trustworthy or willing to adopt. The mail sent to the press spokesperson will not be read. The phone will not be answered. If this changes, not likely, we will notify you. All press must contact emails have been deleted. All phone numbers to the current staff of journalists have been blocked. We will not focus solely on making this site and our future sites. We will not focus solely on making this site and our future sites do more damage against monopolized media. This is not a message of war. This is a message of future. Now, I look at that and I go, wow, somebody definitely stepped in their cornflakes for sure. So if anybody knows anybody down there at the old Pirate Bay, you know, I do believe I qualify not as mainstream media. So if anybody wants to talk to me, hey, I'll talk to the guys at Pirate Bay. Let's get them on the show. We'll have a word with them. You know, let's get the word out there. Now, in cybernetics news. Now, here's an exciting little bit of story. You've got to love the cybernetics. You know, a little bit positive here. A woman marine fitted with a bionic arm, which is controlled by thought, has begun feeling sensations in her missing hand. What? Claudia Mitchell, who lost her arm in a motorcycle crash in 2004, volunteered to be fitted with the limb in 2006 after becoming frustrated with the standard prosthetics. As her arm had been amputated at the shoulder, she lost the nerves normally used to control conventional prosthetic limbs. However, she was given a new hope after discovering a pioneering surgical process called targeted re-intervention. Surgeons took nerves from her shoulder and embedded them under the muscle in her chest. Now when Miss Mitchell thinks to move her chest muscle and let out tiny electrical impulses that are picked up by the robotic arm. These signals are then interpreted by a computer, and the motors cause the arm to move almost instantly. She is able to carry out simple thought-controlled movements like folding a shirt or even opening a bottle of wine. Miss Mitchell from Maryland, who's been nicknamed the Bionic Woman, told the U.S.'s ABC News, "I have what I call eureka moments, my stunned, I can't believe I just did that moments. But the procedure has an odd side effect, enabling Miss Mitchell to feel sensations in her missing hand. For months after the operation, she was in the shower and felt hot water on her lost hand when it hit her chest, where the nerves had been transplanted. She also felt that touching her chest or applying heat or cold would give the sensation of pressure or warmth, cooling to her missing hand. Doctors at the Rehabilitation Institute of Chicago, which has developed the new procedure, believe she's experiencing the sensations because they move the sensory as well as motor nerves from her shoulder to her chest. Dr. Todd Kukin of the Institute, we have rewired her." That's what Dr. Todd, T-O-D-D, German word for death, Dr. Todd Kukin of the Institute, Kukin. I'm Death Kukin. Who's Kukin? Death is Kukin. From the Institute said, we have rewired her. Yeah, awesome sauce. Anyway, he added, we purposely directed her hand sensation nerves to some chest skin, and it worked. Paul Marasco, a colleague, said she had experienced the same sensations when the same part of her chest was touched. He told ABC News, she is like clockwork. Her sensations are very well established. The development offers a new hope of the improvements in prosthetics. Very, very interesting stuff. So, you know, hey, it's still on the grow, but we like things on the grow. Now let's talk about some solutions here. I don't want to be one of these whiny guys who sit back and say, you know, oh, the world's turning to shit. There's no way to fix it. Well, there is one way. We legalize marijuana and we tax it like alcohol or tobacco. But how much cash would that make us when we talk about it? But what would it actually do? Well, one 2006 study in Cash Crop News called cannabis the top cash crop in the nation, worth more than corn and wheat combined. It was the leading crop in 12 states, outstripping the grapes in California, tobacco in North Carolina, and one of the top three in 18 others, coming just in behind apples in Washington and cotton in Georgia. So estates facing massive deficits, could reefer revenues help? The answer is unclear. It could be lucrative for governments, especially when combined with savings from ending prohibition, and the U.S. marijuana market is illegal and there is no sales figures. Well, I'm here to tell you. Estimates of size range from $10.5 billion to $113 billion. But three studies done by economists and policy analysts say ganja taxes could bring anywhere from $2.4 billion to $31.1 billion in revenue, depending how big the sales really are. About one-third of that would go to states. There's not really enough good data in on it. It's probably best to look at it in ballpark figures. Well, how's this for a ballpark figure? They aren't even talking about the other things you can do with grass, like making gasoline out of it, like making food out of it. The U.S. Constitution, the original copy, is written on hemp. The Mayflower sales were made of hemp. Guys, it's like George, all the guys who wrote the Constitution smoked hemp. You know, come on now. Honestly, mind you, there is a certain amount of delicious irony that would be brought into play if the war on drugs caused so many problems that all the other wars they got going on, they had to stop the war on drugs so that they could fund all the other wars with grass. Somehow that's a bastardization of, you know, but it wouldn't really surprise me if that came into power. If McCain gets in, I could see that happening. If Obama gets in, well, I mean, that guy's got a lot of work ahead of him. You know, if McCain gets in, I'm probably just going to light myself on fire right then and there. I mean, it's just like, wow, you're so fucked. Today's daily hack is 35 places to download some free and legal MP3 sent in to me by Misanthropic God. Thank you so much. And some Rec Media. Let's talk about Rand Media's 10th anniversary ticket. Yeah. Anybody wants to come up here and come to the Rand Media 10th anniversary, let me read the press release here. Rant is going all out for its 10th anniversary and renting a theater for the event. There will be contests, a viewing of Rant's projects, and exclusive giveaways, as well as a live after-now performance, and much, much more. Everyone is invited to the event. It's going to be at a theater in Vancouver, British Columbia, Saturday, January 3rd, 2009. You want to meet all the Wogs, and to discuss anything you have and have an enjoyable time. It's open to everyone, and there's a discussion forum thread as well as extra helpful information which can be reached off of the website. Very, very cool. The tickets, how much for all this stuff, and I'm going to be on stage. I am doing After Now. It will be live After Now. It will be an After Now episode. I will be doing it on stage, so I don't know if I'm going to actually do any more audio After Now. But if you want to be there and see me do it, it's going to be about an hour long, and I've never actually done it live, so I'm hoping that it's not going to suck massive donkey nuts. But you know, we'll see what we'll do with the whole thing. Yeah, I've got a bit of a presentation. I've got a little bit of stage training, but we don't have a lot of time to set up and tear down, so it'll be what it is. I will do the best I can, and hopefully, you know, the people who show up will like it. That's all I've ever said about anything I've ever done. Try as best you can, and if it fails, well, there's no shame in it. But I've talked with Sim, because I do have it written out. I know what the notes are going to be. I know we're going to be doing a couple of rehearsals beforehand, and Sim is of the opinion that it's very, very strong. I think his words were like, wow, that's fucking awesome. They'll love that. So, should be a good time. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this program, please distribute. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56 Street Delta, BC, Canada, V4M, 2M4. Thank you, everyone who has donated. Even if you just donate the one time, you know what? Every little bit helps, and it helps me out significantly if it's possible to make that happen. I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys for assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can get it to me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance, because you know what? Psytrance is very, very cool. And I'm going to drag up a track somewhere from the Wayback Machine and see if you like it. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we are at each other's throats. So until next time, hey, that's what Server said. End of line.
Welcome to my secret lair on Skullcrusher Mountain. I hope that you've enjoyed your stay so far. I see you met my assistant Scarface. His appearance is quite disturbing, but I assure you he's harmless enough. He's a sweetheart, calls me master, and he has a way of finding pretty things and bringing them to me. I get the feeling that you don't like it. What's with all the screaming? You like monkeys, you like ponies. Maybe you don't like monsters so much. Maybe I use too many monkeys. Isn't it enough to know that I ruined a pony? Making a gift for you. Atmosphere, and all the fools who lead their foolish lives may find it quite explosive. Well, it won't mean half as much to me if I don't have you here. No, it isn't easy living here on Skullcrusher Mountain. Maybe you could cut me just a little slack. Would it kill you to be civil? I've been patient, I've been gracious, and this mountain is covered with wolves. Hear them howling, my hungry children. Maybe you should stay and have another drink and think about me and you.